Proverbs, chapter 31. You can find it on page 552. We'll come here to the end of the book of Proverbs, and we'll resume our series on the Gospel through the Bible in ensuing books next week. So Proverbs 31, please give your attention to the Word of God as I read from verse 10 to verse 31. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. I've got a Jewish friend who told me this is the woman of valor passage. It's read at the funeral of a Jewish woman. I told a Jewish friend that I was going to preach on this tonight. He said, yeah, Orthodox husbands say this every Friday night to their wives. So it's a well-known passage on the Jewish side of things. And I dare say a lot of us have heard of the Proverbs 31 woman. So it's the woman of valor. The Jewish tradition is you take the name of a passage from words up front. And so excellent wife is Eshet Hayil, which is woman of strength, woman of might. A mighty woman. She's obviously a wife, so we call her an excellent wife here in our English translation. Before I go any farther with her, I better address a problem, or two problems. As you read that, some of the men are saying, I like her. I could live with her. But some of the women are saying, I can't. That's the most depressing chapter in the Bible. That woman never stops. And I will never measure up to her. And I don't know if I want to. And why do we end a great book like Proverbs with this? First of all, you got to keep every passage of the Bible in the context of the Bible. The Bible gives us the fourth commandment, which says 6 days you work and one day you rest. Psalm 127 says there's a benefit to sleeping at night, and there's not so clear there's a benefit to not sleeping at night. So Proverbs 31 does not erase those other chapters that hold out to us the necessity, the commandedness of rest. But secondly, consider God's method. Our holy, perfect God does not lower his standards because we're weak. He keeps them high and then provides a savior and forgiveness for our failings. Think about the Sermon on the Mount. If you are angry with your brother, you are guilty enough for condemnation. If you look at a woman to lust for her, you have committed adultery in your heart. A very high standard. A standard we all fail to meet. But the point is not to depress us or condemn us. It's to send us to Jesus. It's to make us feel our need for a Savior. So consider all the benefits of God's method of keeping the standards high, whether it's in the Sermon on the Mount, or whether it's here, or whether it's somewhere else. When God gives us a perfect standard, then He remains pure. He doesn't wink it wrong by bringing it down. When God gives a perfect standard, we really know what's perfect. He doesn't confuse us with a mixture. When God gives a perfect standard and we need to ask Him for mercy and forgiveness because we haven't met it, then He gets the glory. When God gives us a perfect standard and we have to ask for mercy, our pride is humbled, which allows us, well, brings us, if we understand it, to be gentler with each other and more prepared to love. And when God gives us a perfect standard, we get a lifelong calling. You don't attain God's standard, check it off, and go on to some other goal. You always have to keep striving to discipline your eyes, discipline your mouth, live up to whatever standard God sets. That's true of the Sermon on the Mount, and that's true of this passage here. And so we should understand and appreciate God's purpose in giving us unattainable standards. It's not to crush us, just to crush our pride, because that is good for us. But husbands, if you are inclined to look down on your wife, because she doesn't measure up to this lady, I have a word for you. Who is your model? Oh, Jesus Christ is your model. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. And Jesus is not a literary figure. He actually lived. You left without excuse because He lived it out. And He went beyond her, having lived a perfect life of service. Then He also died for us. So before you find fault with your wife, compare yourself to Jesus. Are you measuring up to Jesus? No? Okay, then close your mouth. And if you still want to criticize your wife, then ask yourself this question. How do I want Jesus to deal with my sin? So, having removed the dangers and the depression from this passage, let's take a look at her. And let's ask, why does Proverbs end with the woman of valor? It's not like the rest of Proverbs. Most of Proverbs is these little epigrams, these little sayings, little proverbs. And the beginning is more extended exhortations. And this isn't like either one of those things. So why does the book end with a different sort of thing? Well, the little epigrams give us thoughts, little bits of wisdom. But she gives us a portrait. She is a walking picture. You look at what she's like, and what she does, she's embodying the wisdom that's been mentioned earlier. And so she teaches us through a portrait. Here is wisdom, as an ancient woman would live it. So we end with this, to teach all of us through a different method, through a picture, as it were. It's also to teach the young men. The book has young men in special focus. As I said, because young men do the most damage when they are not wise. So, young men are in focus. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And what do young men look for? That's easy. Young women. And so Proverbs portrays wisdom as a lady. To say, look to her. That's Proverbs 8. And it portrays a battle between two women, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. That's chapter 9. The point is saying, go with the right one. So wisdom is portrayed as a woman, first of all, to recommend wisdom. You know how much you look at women? Well, you ought to be looking that much for wisdom. But the second reason that wisdom is portrayed as a woman is to tell young men, when you do look for a woman, you got to look for a wise one. Yeah, men need to learn what to look for. Because men instinctively start with looks. And far too many men never get past looks. I'm going to tell you a story. Sophomore in college, my roommate and I have a Chinese guy across the hall in the dorm, and he would come in right at midnight each night with two apples and a knife. He'd sit down on my roommate's bed, he'd peel the apple, he'd eat an apple, he'd talk to us, peel a second apple, talk to us, and then he'd go back, I don't know, whether to study some more or go to bed, and, you know, once he was done, we figured it was time to go to bed. All right? That point would be 12:30. Well, one day, boom! He burst into our room, and it wasn't midnight, it was like 10 o'clock. And he says, "I just saw the most beautiful woman." I still remember my roommate's jaw actually dropped open. He looked at me like, I didn't believe it. And we waited. But he was done. Like, he has already said what he had to say. "I just saw the most beautiful woman." I'm like, well, who was she? Like, "I don't know. I was working in the print lab, and I saw her through the boxes." We're like, "Oh, that's awesome." We asked a few more questions and said, "Oh, we know who that is. She's in our Bible study." All right, but anyway, so. All right, I've never had that happen since, but men are like that. And Proverbs tries to say, look, if she has no sense, she won't make you happy. There's a proverb, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman with no discretion. And I'll let you work that out. But the point is, not what to look for. Proverbs 31 ends the book. It says, young man, this is what to look for. The woman of valor. What is she like? She's excellent from A to Z. This is an acrostic poem. The first verse, verse 10, starts with A, Aleph. The second verse starts with B. The third verse starts with C. All the way up to the last verse starts with Z. Hebrew letters, of course. All right, so she's great from A to Z. That's the point of the structure. I can praise her from A to Z. She's worthwhile, more precious than jewels. She is trustworthy. Her husband trusts her. Why? Well, because he knows her. She does him good and not harm. She is hardworking. And oh boy, it goes on at length about that. An ancient spelling out of Proverbs. Proverbs do say, don't love sleep. Be diligent, know the state of your flocks. That's how she lives. She stays on top of things. She knows what's going on. She is independent. She considers a field and buys it. That's a pretty significant transaction. That's what wealth was in the ancient world, land. She goes and does it. It's not behind her husband's back. That's how the relationship works. He trusts her. I'm sure you got it right, honey. She takes care of herself. She dresses herself with strength. She makes her arms strong. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is linen and purple. She earns money. She makes merchandise and sells it. Now, after all this hard work, is she unsympathetic to the poor? No. It says that she opens her hands to the needy. She reaches out to the needy. She doesn't say, I've worked so hard and you should too. No, she opens her hands. She's not haughty. She knows things could be otherwise. She could be ill. She could be unable to work. She plans ahead capably. She's not a spendthrift giving away money that her kids need. Nope, they're provided for. She's a planner. She's got snow clothes. I'm not sure how much you'd need snow clothes in Israel, but her kids have snow clothes. And she can execute her plan. She looks well to the ways of her household. And she's confident, wise, and kind. She opens her mouth and goodness comes out, wisdom and kindness. This is the woman of valor, and she would have lived in ancient Israel. Now, will a current woman of valor be the same? Character, yes. Details, no. You don't even have to know what a distaff is. It's okay. But you did have this character. So she's excellent from A to Z. And the book that comes next in the Hebrew Bible is the book of Ruth in the Hebrew ordering. Yes, you go from Proverbs 31 right to Ruth. Now, do you know what is missing both from our history of Ruth and from this chapter? Any discussion of what she looks like. You didn't get that. Yes, that's irrelevant. Now, what is her husband like? Because he makes a few appearances here. So what does he do? Well, first of all, he trusts her. Stated plainly in verse 11 and implied in verse 16. She considers a field and buys it, and that's just fine. It's implied again in verse 20. She opens her hand to the needy. That's all right. He trusts her. He is free to pursue public affairs. Verse 23. He's known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Why is he there? Because he doesn't have to be at home. She's got it covered. And so he is freed up to help the community, to help the state, to help the church. And he blesses and praises her. You know the word hallelujah, which is praise the Lord? Well, hallel is the praise part, and that's three times in the last four verses. And it's praise for her. Look, her husband also, and he hallels her. All right, a woman who fears the Lord is to be halleled. But her works hallel her, that is, praise her. The praise doesn't come at the expense of other women. He says, many women are women of valor, but you're the best. Husbands, do you compliment your wife? Would your wife say that you compliment your wife? Do you compliment her for things besides her looks? Now, that's good. I wouldn't lay off doing that. But do you compliment her for other things? For who she is as a person and her character? What are we to learn from the woman of valor? Well, men are to learn what to look for. Men are to learn to praise. And men are to learn what to praise. Men don't get a pass on this chapter. We are to learn from this chapter too. Women, do you spend more time on your appearance in the morning or on preparing your heart and your mind? It's not that one's good and one's bad, but which is more important? This is saying that good character is far more valuable than a well-put-together appearance. And everyone should notice that the book ends the way it started. Where did it begin? After the intro and saying who's supposed to listen, everybody, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And here at the end, we get that right in there. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A noble woman doesn't exist in a vacuum. No, she knows God rightly. She draws strength from God. And that's how and why she lives out the wisdom contained in this book. She knows the first principle of the book. She fears the Lord. And that is where we must begin and end, both in our lives and in the one that we would spend life with. Do I fear the Lord? Does she fear the Lord? Does he fear the Lord? And Jesus is the greatest model for us of how to be this kind of person. He lived the life of diligent and wise service. He feared the Lord and obeyed his heavenly Father. And so the takeaway from this passage is, this is the kind of person to be. This is the kind of person to look for. This is the kind of person to praise. And if you wonder, can I really generalize to everybody, a passage that seems so obviously focused on wives, I can. Because we are the bride of Christ. And so this is how we serve him. And this is what he will praise in us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the wisdom that you teach us throughout Proverbs. And we thank you for this portrait of the excellent woman. Heavenly Father, help us all. Help us all to hear you speaking in all the scriptures and in this chapter. And help us not to be discouraged or depressed, but rather to turn to you for strength, for direction, for forgiveness. Father, you'd help us to be wise. We pray that you'd also help us, Lord, to be generous. Generous with our praise. even as you are gracious and generous to us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.